Hi, I'm Ahwan, a junior doctor with an interest in medical education and ophthalmology. iRevise is the medical revision podcast that's easy to listen to. Listen whilst you're brushing your teeth, listen whilst you're having your breakfast, listen whilst you're on your drive to placement. This podcast is aimed at healthcare students and professionals. We'll be covering core clinical topics in an engaging, case-based style. So if you want to learn more medicine, then stay tuned. This series focuses on ophthalmology. We'll be covering the orbit, the extraocular anatomy of the eye. We'll cover the intraocular anatomy in the next podcast. The areas that we will be covering in this episode include the bony anatomy, musculature, nerve supply, and vasculature. To help demonstrate the anatomy, there is a corresponding worksheet called Anatomy 1, The Orbit. You can download this and it will help you visualize the topics that we will be discussing in this podcast. The eye sits within the orbit, which consists of seven bones. These bones are arranged in a pyramidal structure. Now, the seven bones that make up the walls are the frontal, sphenoid, lacrimal, maxilla, ethmoid, zygomatic, and palatine. Mnemonics are a good tool to help you remember these bones. Try this mnemonic: self, PAMS, S for sphenoid, E for ethmoid, L for lacrimal, F for frontal, PA for palatine, M for maxilla, and Z for zygomatic, self, PAMS. You can also have a look at image one in the worksheet, which will show you a visual representation of the bones. The structures that supply the eye enter via one of the three pathways into the orbit. These pathways are the optic canal, the superior orbital fissure, and with the superior orbital fissure, you of course get the inferior orbital fissure. Now, the optic canal transmits two things: the optic nerve and the ophthalmic artery. The superior orbital fissure transmits three branches of the ophthalmic nerve: the lacrimal, nasociliary, and frontal branches. The superior orbital fissure also transmits the trochlear nerve, the oculomotor nerve, and the abducens nerve. It also carries the ophthalmic vein. Now, the inferior orbital fissure transmits fewer things. It transmits the zygomatic nerve, which is a branch of the maxillary nerve. And finally, it transmits the inferior ophthalmic vein. Now, I know all of this can be really difficult to remember, and it might be a little bit confusing to listen to. This is why I find that a visual representation or visual aid helps with these things. So at this point, it will be good for you to review image 2 on the worksheet. So the orbit contains several really important structures. These structures are the eye itself, the extraocular muscles, which control the movement of the eye, and some of the cranial nerves. Cranial nerves 2 to 6, in fact. And let's not forget the important vessels which also supply the eye and the muscles. Let's talk about movement of the eye. Eye movement is controlled by 6 muscles. And it's important to understand these muscles so that you can understand conditions such as strabismus, squints, and something that's really common in exams, which is cranial nerve palsies, and we'll be covering all of these topics in future podcasts. Now, what are the muscles that control eye movement? There are four recti muscles: the superior, inferior, medial, and lateral recti. The recti muscles all originate from the common tendinous ring. And these muscles allow movement of the eye towards the respective direction of the muscles. For example, the superior rectus muscle is located above the eye and will pull the eye upwards. Now, I mentioned that there are six muscles. So what are the two remaining muscles which move the eye? Well, these are the oblique muscles. You have the superior and inferior oblique. Now, the superior oblique originates from the sphenoid bone. Easy to remember because they both begin with S. The action of the superior oblique is to depress and abduct, that's abduct, the eye. The inferior oblique originates from the orbital floor, and the action of this muscle is to elevate and abduct the eye, that's abduct again. So as you can see, both oblique muscles abduct the eye. There are two more important muscles that we're going to mention. The superior tarsus, which is just a fancy name for the upper eyelid, is controlled by a muscle called the levator palpebrae superioris. The levator palpebrae is responsible for eye opening. The levator elevates the eyelid. Makes sense, right? So if that's the muscle responsible for opening the eye, what's the muscle responsible for closing the eye? Well, the muscle responsible for closing your eye is called the orbicularis oculi. Now's a good time to pause, take a second, and review image 3 in the worksheet for a visual representation of all the muscles we've just spoken about and their actions. Let's talk innervation. The extraocular muscles of the eye are all innervated mainly by three cranial nerves. The superior oblique is innervated by the trochlear nerve, which is the fourth cranial nerve. The lateral rectus is innervated by the abducens nerve, which is the sixth cranial nerve. The orbicularis oculi is innervated by the facial nerve, which is the seventh cranial nerve. All the other extraocular muscles of the eye are innervated by the oculomotor nerve, which is the third cranial nerve. So the muscles supplied by the third cranial nerve are the superior rectus, inferior rectus, medial rectus, and inferior oblique. Now, there's a really simple mnemonic to help you remember this, which is SO4LR6 007EE3. SO4, superior oblique, fourth cranial nerve. LR6, lateral rectus, sixth cranial nerve. Orbicularis oculi, seventh cranial nerve, 007. And EE3, everything else, third cranial nerve. Once again, that's SO4, LR6, 007, EE3. The second cranial nerve is the optic nerve, and this transmits the image from your retina to your brain. And it's important to understand the path of the optic nerve, as different parts of the vision are transmitted via different fibers. So the optic nerve leaves the orbit via the optic canal, and the fibers cross at the optic chiasm. They then travel to the lateral geniculate nucleus via the optic tracts. And then they go through the optic radiation to the visual cortex. The best way to learn this is through a visual aid. So please refer to image 5 and this will make sense to you, trust me. It's important to understand this as it can help you work out where a lesion in the brain may be located by the type of visual field defect a patient presents with. Finally, let's consider the blood supply. Now, this is the only place in this episode where we're going to be touching on structures within the eye. The eye is supplied by the ophthalmic artery, and this branches off from the internal carotid. The ophthalmic artery then has several branches which supply various structures within the eye. One of these branches is the central retinal artery. It's probably the most important one for you to be aware of. It sits in the optic nerve, and this is the artery that you can visualize when you use an ophthalmoscope. The central retinal artery supplies the surface of the retina, and any blockages in this artery can lead to devastating blindness. Some of the other branches of the ophthalmic artery include the short posterior ciliary arteries, the long posterior ciliary arteries, and the lacrimal artery. Venous drainage is via the superior and inferior ophthalmic veins. Both of these drain into the cavernous sinus. It helps to look at the final image on the worksheet here to consolidate the blood supply with the visual aid. This is the test yourself portion of the podcast. I'm going to be asking you a few questions based on the content that we have covered in this podcast. Don't worry if you don't get some of them correct. You can always go back and listen to the podcast again. Here we go. Question 1. How many bones make up the walls of the orbit, and can you name any of these bones? Question 2. What structures are transmitted through the optic canal? Question 3. Which muscles in the eye are controlled by the 4th cranial nerve? Question 4. What action is the orbicularis oculi muscle responsible for? Question 5. What artery can be visualized when examining using an ophthalmoscope? Now, let's go through the answers. So question 1, how many bones make up the walls of the orbit and can you name them? There are, of course, 7 bones, and our mnemonic, self-PAMS, is our memory aid to help us remember the names of all those bones. So the bones are the sphenoid, ethmoid, lacrimal, frontal, palatine, maxilla, and zygomatic. Question 2. What structures are transmitted through the optic canal? The structures transmitted through the optic canal are the optic nerve, and the ophthalmic artery. Question 3. Which muscles in the eye are controlled by the fourth cranial nerve? If you remember our other mnemonic, SO4LR6007EE3. So the fourth cranial nerve, SO4, the muscle is the superior oblique. Question 4. What is the orbicularis oculi muscle responsible for? This muscle is responsible for closing the eye, and it's controlled by the seventh cranial nerve, which is the facial nerve. Finally, question 5. What artery can be visualized when examining using an ophthalmoscope? This is, of course, the central retinal artery. Thanks so much for listening. I hope that you found this podcast useful and informative. If you found this podcast helpful, then please subscribe, tell your friends and share it. Stay tuned for next week's podcast, where we'll be going into the intraocular anatomy of the eye. Once again, thank you for listening. I've been Ahwan, and this is the Eye Revised Ophthalmology Podcast.